"I'm teaching you things all the time," said Lutze. "You might not be learning them, of course."
"Oh, I see," said Lobsang, very smug. "Are you going to try to teach me about this yeti, then, and why you made me bring a sword?"
"You'll need the sword to learn about yetis," said Lutze.
"How?"
"In a few minutes we'll find a nice place to stop, and you can cut his head off. Is that all right why you, sir?"
"Yes, sure," said the yeti.
In the second scroll of When the Eternally Surprised, a story is written concerning one day when the apprentice Clodpool, in a rebellious mood, approached Wen and spake thusly.
"Master, what is the difference between a humanistic, monastic system of belief, in which wisdom is sought by means of an apparently nonsensical system of questions and answers, and a lot of mystic gibberish made up on the spur of the moment?"
Wen considered this for some time, and at last said, "A fish." And Clodpool went away satisfied. Tick. The code of the Igors was very strict. Never contradict. It was no part of an Igor's job to say things like, "No, sir, that's an artery." The master was always right. Never complain. An Igor would never say, "But that's 1,000 miles away." Never make personal remarks. No Igor would ever dream of saying anything like, "I thought have something done about that laugh if I were you." And never, ever ask questions. Admittedly, Igor knew that meant never ask big questions.
"Would sir like a cup of tea around now?"
was fine. But
"What do you need 100 virgins for?"
or
"Where do you expect me to find a brain at this time of night?"
was not. An Igor stood for loyal, dependable, discreet service with a smile, or at least a sort of lopsided grin, or possibly just a curved scar in the right place. And it has to be said that there was nothing intrinsically evil about Igors themselves. They just didn't pass judgment on other people. Admittedly, that was because if you worked for werewolves and vampires, and people who looked on surgery as modern art rather than science, passing judgment would mean you'd never have time to get anything done. And therefore, Igor was getting worried. Things were wrong, and when an Igor thinks that, they are really wrong. Great difficulty lay in getting this across to Jeremy without breaking the code, though. Igor was increasingly ill at ease with someone so clearly stark, staring, sane. Nevertheless, he tried.
"Her ladyship will be along again this morning," he said,
as they watched yet another crystal grow in its solution. "And I know you know that," he thought, "because you've smoothed your hair down with soap and put on a clean shirt."
"Yes," said Jeremy. "I wish we had better progress to report. However, I'm sure we're nearly there now."
"Yes, that's very strange, isn't it?"
said Igor, seizing the opening.
"Strange, you say?"
"Call me Mr. Silly, sir, but it seems to me that we're always on the point of success when her ladyship pays us a visit. But when she's gone, we experience new difficulties."
"What are you suggesting, Igor?"
"Me, sir? I'm not a suggestive person, sir. But last time, part of the divider array had cracked."
"You know, I think that was because of dimensional instability."
"Yes, sir."
"Why are you giving me that funny look, Igor?"
Igor shrugged. That is, one shoulder was momentarily as high as the other one.
"Goes with the faith, sir."
"She'd hardly pay us so handsomely and then sabotage the project, would she? Why would she do that?"
Igor hesitated. He had his back right up against the code now.
"I am still wondering if she's all the themes, sir."
"Sorry, I didn't catch that."
"I wonder if we can trust her, sir," said Igor patiently.
"Oh, go and calibrate the complexity resonator, will you?"
Grumbling, Igor obeyed. The second time Igor'd followed their benefactor, she'd gone to a hotel. Next day, she'd headed for a large house in King's Way, where she'd been met by an oily man who'd made a great play of presenting her with a key. Igor had followed the oleaginous man back to his office in a nearby street where, because there are few things that are kept from a man with a face full of stitches, he'd learned that she'd just bought the lease for a very large bar of gold.